That is a good song. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody say that.
I dare to believe.
Say it again.
I dare to believe.
Say it again.
I dare to believe.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He's a good God. Amen. Now hold up your Bible and say,
this is my Bible.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
I can do what the Word says.
I can
have what the Word says I can have.
And I am.
And I am.
And I am.
What the Word says I am.
I am a Christian.
Born again.
Bible believing.
Devil stomping.
Champion.
For God.
Amen.
Good for you, church.
Hallelujah.
God is good.
I'm so excited
about the radio ministry.
Those of you that
supported the ministry,
Miss Kathy
should be approaching you. We're
down to like just
3 more weeks left,
I believe, 3 or 4 more weeks.
So
I pray you'll pray
about it and
re-sponsor, if you
will, because it's been
fantastic.
I was just talking
to my neighbor
yesterday,
John,
a wonderful man,
a nice guy,
and he said,
oh, by the way,
I saw on your message
sign, AM 1450,
and I've been listening
to you on the
radio.
I said,
praise God, John,
that's wonderful.
He said, you know,
I was brought up in a
certain denomination.
This is quite
different, the way you
talk and the way you
say things. I said,
my wife's on tomorrow
morning.
When do you
hear her? You're
going to love her.
And so,
but he said,
but I could see things
you were saying
that I've never
quite seen before.
So it was really good.
And I'd like to sit down
and talk with you sometime.
Amen.
One person
gets saved, man.
That whole thing
on the radio was
worth it. Amen.
And
I thank you,
those of you that sponsored
the church, you know,
being on the radio.
So we'd like to
keep doing that.
So pray about it
and pray we
can.
But
it was really
exciting to hear him say
that. He said, I
saw the message sign
on the front and
I've been listening to you.
Praise God. You
know that?
One person,
there's a law of
relativity.
One person
means that
they're going to talk to
another 3 to 4
people.
So that means
5 people now
are going to hear about
the radio ministry
on the radio. Amen.
So this is
fantastic.
I really
believe it was from
God when I got
it about a year and a half
ago when
I first sat down
with the owner of the
radio station, a nice
man, and
been very, very
sweet to me and
this church, and
did
wonderful things
to
get this program in
the radio. And I'm
thrilled.
Amen? Because
there's certain things
that people need to know.
Amen? They need to
dare to believe.
They need to
dare to believe the
Bible, praise God.
And
so I want to talk to you this
morning about what
degree
the greater one
is in you.
Now, you know,
the Bible says,
greater is he that's
in me than
he that's in the
world. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And
for those that don't
understand, amen
simply means
so be it.
So when
you say amen
to the minister,
you're reassuring,
so be it,
what he just said.
Amen.
So that's why
we say amen a
lot.
So be it.
Bless God. The
word's true and that's
it. So,
you know, the greater one,
the Bible says that
greater is he that is
in me than
he that is in the world.
Well,
that's true,
but I
want to ask you this
morning, church, I want to
kind of put it right on
your lap, so to
speak, and say,
how great
is the greater
one in you?
See,
to what
degree
is the greater
one in you?
Now,
that we sang the
song, that seed
has been planted
in us, amen?
But a
seed, as you know,
just sits there
and will do
nothing unless
it's what?
Watered.
And so
when the seed gets
watered, it
grows, amen?
So I
want to ask you this morning,
what level
of degree
is the
greater one in
you? Because we're
all at different levels
with the greater
one in us.
See?
So go to
1 John 4:4,
because we've got to
lay a little foundation
and then we'll go ahead and
continue.
Thank
God for the word.
1 John
4:4
says this,
and
this is
the
word of God.
The
Bible says,
you
are of God, little
children,
and have
overcome
them,
because
he who
is in you
is greater
than he who is in the
world.
Praise the Lord.
Little
children, he said.
God's
talking to his
children.
He's talking
to you, church.
He's talking to the
born-again
believers.
And he's saying,
greater is
he that is in
you than he that's
in the world.
Now, it's
talking about 3
people there.
He that is
in you
is greater than
he that's in the world.
So you got he
that's in you.
You got
you
that's going to
receive
in you he.
Amen?
It's not good grammar,
but you kind of see what
I'm saying.
He's
in you.
I remember Brother
Hagin preached one time
about the
Spirit of the Lord dwells
in you. And I'll tell you what, that man is amazing. He is such a, he's still alive in heaven, praise God. He's got such an anointing on his words. He could say a simple thing and it was just so profound, just shot right into you, deep into your spirit. And he'd just lean over the pulpit sometimes and go, "He's in you." The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord is in you. He's in you. And when he said in you and he looked at you, you were just like, "Oh, right, he's in me. I got it." It was awesome. And that's what I want to get across. He is in you. Christ is in you. Amen? But he's greater than he that's in the world. He that's in the world is lowercase g, the god of this world. Lowercase g. The enemy. Satan. Amen? So then I got to thinking about, when I looked at the scripture, I got to thinking about, well, why is it that some people don't even have the greater one in them? And then how is it that some people get saved and they have the greater one in them, but they don't have the greater one in them to the level or the degree that others do? You know, I'll give you a good example. A lay person in the church who just got born again doesn't have the level of degree of the greater one in them demonstrative, in other words, by way of demonstration, as would somebody like, let's say, Benny Hinn, or Brother Copeland, or Brother Hagin. You can keep going on. Joyce Meyer. Why is that? What happened? Why is one way up here where you can see me? I'll give you an illustration. The level of the greater one in me has increased in me. Somebody say increase.
Increase.
So how is that? Because I'll tell you why. When the level of the word increases in you, and you know the word is Jesus, amen? So he that is in you is the word of God. When the word of God is in you, what happens? Something happens when that increase comes. Something happens. It's called, there is a demonstration to the fact and truth that the word is in you by way of, to be blunt, I can't keep my mouth shut. The word comes out. You will speak the word if it's increased in you. And it can't increase in you unless you get born again. That's the first place you got to be, is born again. So I took it backwards so we can go forward. Amen? So the first scripture we're going to look at is the first point I want to give you this morning. You must be born again. You must be born of His Spirit. And I got to lay this foundation. I know you think, well, I know I'm born again. What are you giving this? Because others need to be reinforced. I'm so excited about the Scriptural Foundation class that people are wisely going into that class that just went through the new believers class, new membership class, that just got born again. It's crucial. It is so crucial to your Christian walk that you lay a strong foundation.
Amen.
The dining room and the bathroom you redid and all that doesn't matter when the winds of life stop blowing.
Amen.
It's the foundation of the house that keeps it strong. Amen? So the foundational truths are very important. And it's key. It's key to you having a healthy, strong, committed walk with God. You got to do what you guys are doing, and we're very pleased. 15 more people are going to be coming on board this church, went through the class, and they're in there with Scriptural Foundation class. How many people, raise your hand, are in there doing the Scriptural Foundation class? Raise your hand. Keep your hands up. How many people in this church have, in times past, gone through the Scriptural Foundation class? Raise your hand. Keep your hands up, everybody. Everybody keep your hands up. How many people in times past went through the membership class? Raise your hand. There's such unity in this church. That is unity. It's bringing solidity to the truth. Amen. But the Bible says in John 3:3, Jesus is speaking. You know, and I get so, you know, like bewildered and like, how can you, you know, I didn't say Bill Whitney is speaking. I said Jesus is speaking. It's amazing to me that when people have been taught something wrong long enough, they'll continue to believe the wrong is right and supersede, if you will, somebody else's false teaching over the Bible itself. The Word of God should take first priority in your life. I don't care what you've heard before. I don't care if it came from a guy in a fancy suit made in Italy or if it came from a guy with a collar on his neck. That doesn't matter if what he's saying is not in the Word and it doesn't line up with the Word. You must put the Word of God as your final authority. Because why? It's God's Word. God's word supersedes anything anybody else says. God's word is the deciding factor to what you're going to do in life. What you're going to do with the Bible. Well, you know, well, I believe this. Well, that's fine, but God said this. So now you're at a place. And Jesus said in John 3:3, and Jesus answered Nicodemus and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you look at verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He's giving you two different things there. Jesus is saying what's born in the natural, when you're born in the natural, yeah, that's flesh being coming out of the womb of the woman, and you now have a child that's born. Yeah, that's flesh. But he's saying, bless God, you're going to be born in your spirit. Yeah. Your spirit man must be born again. It's dead to God. The Bible says that. That's what happened with Satan beguiling Adam and Eve. And they took and they went against God's word in the garden. And so they fell out of fellowship with God. See? And that's a key word, fellowship. It's not religion that gets you into the kingdom of heaven. It's fellowship. Religion versus fellowship. And people that are locked in religion are still away from God. He can't be in fellowship with sin. And you have a sin nature by way of the Adamic nature. Amen? So what are you going to do? What Jesus said, you must get born again. You must be born anew. You must be born from above. Those are all the translations. You can't get born from above by doing something on the earth naturally. It's got to come from heaven itself. So that's what happens. We get born again. It's like a baby when the baby's born. What happens? A new life came into the earth, didn't it? Little James, he's gone now. There's his tiger. Little James was birthed into this earth, and there was a little boy that was born, brand spanking new, another little guy running around, amen, in this church. But listen, when you get born again by way of the Spirit, you're now a new birth in the spirit of things, in the God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Brand spanking new, the Bible says. And when that happens, what happens next is that you're not done. Amen. You don't get born again just to get born again, and then you're not done. You're just beginning. That little boy, James, he's not done. Okay, I was born, yeah, get me a car, I'll get to work and all that. He's got to grow. He's not done yet. His life just began. Same thing when you get born again. You just started your new life. And too many times people get cares of the world, lust of the flesh, and the other one there, I can't recall right now, pride of life, come in and they take their new born again life and they leave the church body. They leave and go back to the world. Well, you're just a baby, man. You're just a baby born again. And there is not going to be a greater one in you. In manifestation. Mm-hmm. Not going to happen. Nope. It's not going to happen. That greater one that's on the inside of people that don't continue to grow just almost lies dormant. What great things God can do with those that are able to go ahead and increase in Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's up to you. It's up to you, new Christian. It's up to you. You're the deciding factor of how much you're going to increase in the things of God, or you're going to go ahead and stay where you are. That's why it's wise that you keep coming Wednesday nights like you are, church. We're so pleased. Pastor Sonia gives you teachings that if you can't get here, you ought to get a CD on Sunday morning. Last Wednesday was awesome again. Amen? I'm telling you, this is the stuff that's going to help you to increase. Something has to happen. So let's look at, to support what I just said, you must be born again. Go to John 3:21. We're right in the same book. John 3:21 says, but he who does the truth comes to the truth, to the light, that his deeds may clearly be seen that they have been done in God. What that's saying is that if you know the truth, then you just don't hear it. It says you do it. But he who does the truth comes to the light. See that? You can't help but come to the light when you get the Spirit of God inside of you. Can I get an amen? Amen. You guys, nobody called you and told you you need to go to church this morning. You know, you didn't come because Pastor Billy mad if I don't show up. No, you came because the Holy Spirit was drawing you inside of you to come and get more knowledge of His Word. Isn't that true? You're kind of drawn to the light. He who knows the truth and does the truth comes to the truth. And you're drawn to the light just like a bug is drawn to a bug light. Amen? Zap. You get zapped. Well, that's what happens when you come to this church. You get the light of the gospel and then zap, you get it. And the light, wow, I got it. Yeah, you got it. Now do something with it. So why are you drawn to the light? Because if you're wise, you realize that in the light, my deeds are exposed, not condemnation, but conviction. That's going to help me to change and be more like Christ. So you keep coming to the light. Some people rebuke the light because they don't want their deeds to be exposed. To who?
To them.
To them. But the wise come to the light and they do the word. What happens? We're still talking about the greater one. How great is the greater one in you? That's what I want to ask you this morning. So number two happens. You got to get born of the Spirit. You got to have the Holy Spirit in you. You got to be born of the Spirit before anything else is going to happen in your life in a Christian walk. Amen? It's not going to church. It's not just going to a church that makes you a Christian. And this is crucial because there's so many different cults out there that people think just because they're going to a church, they're okay. No, God holds you responsible when you get born again. He wants you to grow up spiritually. He's got things for you to do for Him. And we shouldn't sit by the wayside just saying, well, I'm going to church. Is that the church you're supposed to be in? You're supposed to be getting filled with the truth and knowledge of God's Word. Why? Because God doesn't want you to just stay a baby. He wants you to grow up spiritually, and He has a reason for it. He's got plans for you, plans you don't even know about. I didn't know I was going to be a pastor. When I got born again in a little Methodist church, I thought, yippee-yahoo, I'm going to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? And God's in heaven going, He doesn't even know what's up for Him. I thought I was a police officer that was born again. And I was preaching the word to all my brothers in the force. I thought that was going to be it. But no. He went and talked to my wife. And the two of them came up with a plan. And then Tara got in on it too. I'm pastoring a church today, guys. When I get born again in a little church, in a little Methodist church that loved God and blessed their little hearts, I can still see the people's faces. I can still see the, I think it was one, two, three rows maybe. Was it three rows of pews or two?
Oh, no, there was more than that.
Well, how many? Women. They get the details.
It was about 10 rows.
That much? No, not the Methodist church. West Milan.
Yeah, there was. It was, the pews were very
small. Oh, okay. Anyway. Well, believe her on that one, but I thought it was tinier than that, but it was just a quaint little church. And it was so precious. After every service, they'd have like, they'd have all little pastries for everybody. Don't go there, she's going. They were wonderful little pastries. And their heart was so beautiful, all of them. And I got born again in that little thing. Something happened, though. Something happened, and I'm standing here before you as a pastor, guys. You know what happened? Me decreased and He increased. That's what happened. And that's what God wants to do with you. Amen. That's the second thing. You must decrease. You must decrease so that He may increase. Look at John chapter 3, verse 30. What? I don't think that's right. Okay. Yep. He must increase, but I must decrease. That's what John the Baptist was saying about Jesus. He was saying that I was the forerunner. I brought the message that there's one coming that will take away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God. Amen? There's one coming. And He said, and I'm going to step back. I'm going to decrease because He's going to increase. Now Jesus is going to take the way, and He's going to take the ball and run with it. And he's going to preach the word. And he's going to cast out devils. He's going to open blind eyes. He's going to be demonstrative. He's going to demonstrate that the word, in fact, is alive in here now. And that's exactly what happens with you, Christians. When you decrease and allow him to increase, something happens. Amen. You start performing, if you will, or doing the word. And it's not even you. It's God using you, a vessel, to let him flow through you. Amen. Pastor Sonia lays hands on people, wham, they get healed. I lay hands on people that tell me, oh, I thought my head was going to catch on fire. It was so hot, it got real hot. Amen. The anointing of God is strong. But I would never have stepped out and did that unless I increase in him and decrease in me. Amen? Just like a baby that's nurtured, guys. Why? When a baby is nurtured, and I taught it last Sunday, that from the ages of 3 to 5 and then 3 to 7, that child will take on its personality. It'll take on its characteristics. All of what it will be in life as an adult is first impressed on that child at that very young age of 3 years old and 5 years old. They'll start looking, acting, and talking like who? The parent. We could do a little demonstration now. I could have all the little ones come out that were like 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old and under. And then we'll play a little game. Whose child is this? And then we could even make it even tougher and have them come out with bags over their heads. Because if you see little Emma, you're going to know that's ours. Amen? Anybody in this church, they look so much like their parents. But I'd like to put bags over their little heads, have them come out and have them say something. What do you think about this? And let them answer. You'll hear their parents' voices through them. They're taking on their parents' personalities. They're taking on their parents' characteristics. Listen, guys, that's exactly what you got to do with God. You are now responsible to take on his personality. Love people. Take on his characteristics. Amen? Walk, and Jesus said, whatever the Father does, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever he says, tells me to do, I'm going to do it. That's what the Word of God is doing inside of you. It's up to you to act on it. Let people see Christ in you. Amen? So we are to become like God. We're to become like him. We're to become and let his personality, his characteristics, his beliefs. Isn't it so true? Whenever the parent believes, that's what the child's going to believe. My parents believed one way about religion, and it got on me. I had to believe that way. That was in them. And we went to that certain religious organization. Happened to you, didn't it? You took on what your parents believed. Now you are a child that's in the Word of God. You're to take on what Father God says. He's your father now in spiritual things and truth. Amen? It's up to you to take on his beliefs. And the Bible says, have the faith of God. Wow. One translation says, have faith in God. Another one says, have the faith of God. You're not going to have the faith of God unless you can do what? Decrease in you, increase in him. Amen. Praise God. So, backing that up, the more we train ourselves to decrease and allow his spirit to increase, the greater one becomes in your new life. It's all up to you. Amen. Somebody say, it's up to me.
It's up to me.
Now poke your neighbor and say, it's up to you.
It's up to you.
John 3:27 says this. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. John 3:27. A man receives nothing unless it is given to him from heaven. Talking about spiritual things, guys. Didn't Peter say, you're the Christ? And didn't Jesus say to him, flesh and blood, your brain, in other words, didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven, or something to that effect? You got it from heaven. That's what he told Peter. You got that revelation of the Christ from heaven. And isn't that exactly what happens with us, guys? When we receive something from God, it's coming from heaven. No man receives anything unless it's from heaven, spiritually. Amen? So I'm going somewhere. So look at 1 Corinthians. Y'all doing good? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We've already established you got to have the Holy Spirit in you. You got to have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Well, you got to get in there first. Amen? You got to be born again. You got to have the Holy Spirit in you. Now we're talking about once the Spirit comes in you, you're not done. You're just beginning. Now you've got to increase in Him and decrease in you. That's exactly what happens, guys. You see people change and mature in their Christian walk. What's happening? They're becoming less of them and more of Him. With each adversity, with each wonderful thing that happens, persecution, tribulations, trials, it's your opportunity to decrease in you and act like Him. Step into His arena and increase in the Spirit of God. Amen? So the greater one is in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one of you. I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God gave it. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. No man receives anything unless it's from heaven, unless it's from God. God's going to give you the increase, amen? What it's saying is it doesn't matter who's preaching, Paul or Apollos, Pastor Bill or Pastor Sonia. God will give you the increase. Somebody on TV, somebody you're talking to in the supermarket. If it's the Word of God, if it's the Word of God, I got to say it again, if it's the Word of God and you receive it, God gave you the increase. So important. Amen? And then Paul says in verse chapter 4, just flip over to chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ.
I hope you don't, because that's going to bring a lot of confusion.
You know, some people do that. They go to 1,500 people for well, I like this one, 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 this one. Listen, just pick a handful. I got about a handful that I constantly draw from. Yeah. The same vein, the same truth. Yeah. You pray and you'll get a release. I mean, I'm just hooked up with Copeland Ministry. I'm hooked up with Andrew Warren Ministries. I'm hooked up with certain ministries that I draw and continue. But I don't go, even though there's another 1,000 people I could go to, I got to draw on the ones that I know God wants me to draw from. Amen? Praise the Lord. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. In other words, he's saying to them, I'm like a father to you in the spirit. I'm kind of like a daddy to everybody in the church as a pastor. You'll never call me father because it's unscriptural. But I'm kind of like daddy. And Pastor Sonny's like mummy. A mummy. Not a mummy, but a... But she like... And I are kind of like, if you will, the top dogs to make sure that the rest of the body of believers are getting fed properly. Amen? You see what I'm saying? That's what Paul's saying. He says, therefore, I urge you, in verse 16, to imitate me. You will take on the characteristics of your pastor, just like your children are going to take on your characteristics as parents. Imitate me, Paul's saying. That's important. I've heard people say this to me, and I can't understand how they do it. I know I'm born again and all that, and I got the Spirit of God in me, and I pray in the Holy Ghost, but I don't know. The Lord just seems to have me at this certain church sitting under a false teacher for a reason. I guess I'm there to help the congregation or whatever. How do you do that? I can't listen to somebody on the TV, on radio, or even in person for that matter. I've had it happen. I've had it happen at a word meeting. When somebody started talking, and all of a sudden what they said, I said, wait a minute, now I got to check. And I said, that's contrary to the word. I turned the television off. I switched the station. No, you're off. I love you. God bless you, sir, or whoever you are, but you're off. And I flicked the station as I won't listen to it because it's contrary to the word. Well, then how do you go there Sunday after Sunday and sit your little old self under a person who's giving you stuff contrary to the word? How can you do that? Now, some people say, well, leave them alone. You know, they're born again and they're ministering to the congregation or whatever. Yeah, but the characteristics of that man of God or woman in the pulpit is going to get on you. Is it worth taking that chance that you might be swayed? I don't know how people do it. I can't. God bless them, but I can't. I will not sit under somebody that's contrary to the word of God. It won't happen, ever. Amen? Amen. And so Paul's saying, imitate me. There's an old saying, if you can't imitate Christ, imitate Paul. Amen? He's the closest thing to Christ, you know, in his actions and his demonstrations. Paul the Apostle was an awesome. Paul was, you got to remember, he was a Roman. He got, here we go. This is the message. He got born again on the road to Damascus, guys. And Paul didn't stop there. He increased in Jesus Christ. So much so the anointing. Paul did great and mighty works by way of Christ through him. Amen?
Amen?
He increased, praise the Lord. He received from God. He had continued to receive from God. And he went out with all boldness and he preached the word. They couldn't shut him up, and he wouldn't shut up.
Amen.
Same thing with Peter. Remember, they beat him up and stuff and said, now get out of here and stop preaching about that Christ stuff. Leave it alone. Don't talk about Jesus. And they went out with all boldness and preached the word of God again. Right at the very city square where they got beat up, thrown into prison and all that stuff. They went right out again preaching the word. Why? Because there's such a level of the greater one on the inside of you, nobody's going to shut you up.
Amen.
It's as simple as that. Amen?
Amen?
You can't help but let it come out. Sometimes you shock yourself. Have you ever been there? Well, you didn't even realize it was going to come flying out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And the person went, and you went, I can't believe I just said that. Yeah, it's so much in you, you can't help it. Then when I first got saved, of course, when you first get saved, you know, that first love, you're so excited because you got the light, you got zapped, and you got saved, amen? And you realize and you say, I'm born again, praise God, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven, this is so cool. I got to tell people. See, wherever you go, you're like a little mini evangelist. Wherever you go, you tell everybody about God, amen? And so I remember at the police department, every time I walk into the room downstairs where we put on our gear and everything, and I walk in and I know one time, I can't help it. It keeps coming out. How excited I am about even that little bit of knowledge I knew that you need to get saved. You need to know Jesus Christ. And so there'll be all kind of people, officers in the room, and I walk in and I walk in, what are you guys talking about? And I remember one time, Sergeant Bullock, bless his heart, he's in heaven now, I pray. And he said to me, oh, please don't come into this conversation. Will you, Bill? Just stay out of this. I said, why? He goes, because we're talking about something here, and I don't want to talk about God. I said, I ain't going to talk about God. He goes, yes, you will. He says, you wait and see, somehow. I says, listen, you're talking about dogs, you know, beagles and Dobermans. I said, I'm going to talk about dogs. I won't. Yes, you will. You'll find some way, he said. You'll bring God into this. He was right. Didn't take long at all. I couldn't help it. It just came flying out. Something scriptural about animals. Amen. And so he said, see, I told you. You brought in God again. You can't talk about anything without bringing God into it. You know what? You can't talk about anything without bringing God into it. God is in everything. Think about it. The Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing, has favor with God and man. Oh, man, I found a good thing. I got a great wife. She's pretty, too. Tara said so Wednesday night. I think it was Wednesday night. But praise the Lord. No, no, no. Listen, everything in my life, God gave to me. Everything good. Amen? You can't help but talk about God, brag on God about whatever's going on in your life. Why? Because he's the one who gives you. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of light. Oh, yeah. You can't help but open your mouth. You can't shut up about God because you're increasing in him. If you just allow yourself to what? Decrease. Praise God. Let's look at John 3:34. We're about ready to close. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. Talking about the greater one on the inside of you, amen? He who God has sent speaks the word. What level of degree is the greater one on the inside of you? For the greater one is on the inside of each and every one of us. But some of us demonstrate that truth more than others. Why? Some of us have learned to decrease and let him increase. I'm kind of pounding a point here, aren't I? Why? Listen, like I said in the very beginning, if you're born again and you've gone ahead and matured to where you're increasing in Christ Jesus by way of knowledge, then you can't help but speak about it. And did you notice the word says, he who God has sent speaks the word. See, the word is in you so prevalent. It's just coming out of you so much, it's like your pores are saturated with Holy Ghost water. And you can't help but have it come out of you. Mature Christians. Because think about it. We were all there once. Oh, I should probably say something, but I'll give you an easy one. Does everybody get that? We're at Chili's. We're going to get heartburn, but we're there. We're at Chili's. We're going to eat a whole bunch of greasy food.
Not me.
And you're surrounded at the table. Hey, it's after church Sunday. We're all dressed in our Sunday best. And we're sitting there. People looking over, and they can see 8, 10, 12 people sitting around the table. They're going, they must have came from church. Look at all dressed. They're nice, so dressed so nicely. The food comes. And you say to somebody, well, we got to say grace. Praise the Lord. Who wants to pray? We got to say grace. Who wants to pray? Okay, why don't you pray so-and-so?
I don't want to pray. No.
Okay, you pray. I don't want to pray. Well, then you pray.
Well, I'm not. No, I'm kind of, there's people here. I'm a little shy.
I'm just showing you a point. They're too much into themselves and not enough into Christ. You need to say, you know, Brother Smith, Smith Wigglesworth used to do it in restaurants. He'd say, he'd get his food and he'd stand up. Excuse me. Hello, everybody. Excuse me. And they'd stop and look up at him and say, I'm going to go ahead and say grace over my food. If you'd like to join me, you can listen up. He didn't care. And then he'd say grace over his food and everybody else bow their heads. True story. That's what he did. He didn't care. And now, you know, like if somebody's shy, that's okay. That's the level of the greater one in them. But the greater one's in me that I am not embarrassed one bit to pray. And I say it. I don't be, you know, rude to people. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord for this food. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for the food. You know, I make people embarrassed. Yeah. Somehow, Lord, bless this grease. But you know, I'll tell you what, Christians, the greater one's in me, and I don't care what the world thinks. And I know what the Word says. The Word says to say grace over your food, to bless the food that God gave you. Amen?
Amen.
And thank Him for it. There's people that don't have food. Number one, don't have that privilege to eat food. And then to make sure that the chef out back, if he didn't wash his hands, nothing's going to get in you. I don't eat in restaurants a lot, I'll tell you, anymore. There's nothing, no one, not a soul on this earth, even Andre Bocelli, he's a musician. The other guy there, I like watching him on the Iron Chef, Bocelli. What's his first name? Mario Bocelli, with the red shoes. That boy can cook. But I'm sorry, I still love my wife's cooking. Why? Is his better? Maybe, but I know her hands are a lot cleaner. I'm just telling you this. They don't cook food for me anyway in most of these restaurants the way I like it. I like it to taste really flavorful and good. Amen? But if I do go to a restaurant, when I sit down, if anybody else doesn't want to pray, they're afraid, you know, to pray, I'll pray, and we'll pray over the food politely, bearing in mind there's other people there that might feel awkward about it. But when I get done praying, I purposely, when we get done, thank you, Lord Jesus, amen. And people are reaching for bread or whatever, I purposely look around. And I'm telling you, more than once, I've seen a woman or even a man, look at me, and I'd look at him, and he'd smile. There's a bunch of children at the table. And we're teaching the children how to respect food, how to respect God and pray. And some adults acknowledge that and think that's sweet. You don't go to the Bible Belt in Oklahoma or, you know, Texas. You don't go out there. It'd be abnormal to see people eating without, they must be from out of town, eating without praying over their food. It's a regular thing. Well, why can't it be a regular thing in New England? And how's it going to be a regular thing in New England if Christians step up to the plate and start demonstratively demonstrating that the word is true? And we pray over our food. Amen. Praise God. And then others will follow suit. Amen?
Amen.
Because the level of the greater one, it's up to you. It's up to you. He who has a level of God increase in his life is unashamed to speak the word. God says wherever he who God has sent speaks the word. Think about it. Well, that might be talking about apostles. No, it's talking about you too. Because the minute you got born again, the minute you increased in the knowledge of Christ and of God, now God has you in a position where he's sending you someplace all the time. Miss Lisa's constantly ministering to people at her work. Am I right? Amen?
Amen.
I see a lot of heads going. Wherever God sends you, if the greater one's overflowing on the inside of you, you're going to speak the word.
Amen.
You can't help but speak the word.
Right.
And this comes right back to this church is only going to grow like any other church grows, is if people open their mouths and preach the word.
Amen.
And say things to people that they've never heard before. Like, you believe that? Yes, I do. Oh, that's a lie. What you're believing is a lie. It's a false doctrine. And I can prove to you it is by the Bible. I was speaking with a brother yesterday, and I know the word inside and out. I know I've dealt with a lot of stuff, man. But he said something to me in the parking lot out there that I never thought about before as a good way to come back. With the word. Some people don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. Some people don't believe that he died on a cross. And he was sharing me how this certain church doesn't teach that Jesus died on the cross. They don't believe he died on the cross. He's a great prophet, but he didn't die on a cross. And this man said to the person that said, I go there, and I guess, you know, that's what they believe. He said, really? All right. Do you believe Jesus is a prophet? Do they believe Jesus? Oh, yeah, Jesus is a prophet. He was a great prophet. And he said this, and it just, I love it. He said to the person, do prophets lie? She said, no, of course not. Prophets don't lie. Then what do you do about the scripture where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me? That's powerful. See, you don't want to argue with people and debate with people about, my pastor said this, my pastor Sonia said this, Pastor Bill said, say the Bible says. You'll save yourself a whole lot of headaches. Just say, the Bible says this. And you know, when you get to where the word is in you is so much more important than yourself. See, some of you, I said, well, aren't you out there preaching the word? Aren't you inviting people to church? I can't do that. I'm embarrassed. I'm a shy person. You're going to have to get over you. You're going to have to get over you. I say that lovingly, but you're going to have to get over you. People that can't preach the word to people and hold back because they say, I'm shy, you just told me where you're at. Is the greater one in you so great that you can't help but tell people how to get saved? And then I'm saying this to teach you something. If you just got born again, well, obviously, you're just learning the truths yourselves. Amen? You're just learning the first principles. But you are responsible to increase in Christ Jesus so that what? The word comes out. So if you say, I've been a Christian for a month or two, I can understand why you're a little nervous or embarrassed to speak about being saved or whatever it may be, whatever point it may be. But if you say to me, I've been a Christian for 4, 5, 6 years, and you're still afraid to speak up to somebody in your workplace, in the marketplace, at your relative's, you know, get-together, at a wedding, at a funeral, if you're still, something tells me this, you've not allowed yourself to grow. You've allowed yourself to just sit right there and not increase in him. And that's not good. That's not good. Why? Because you will be held accountable by God for the people that you were supposed to minister to and didn't, because you got in the way. I know. See, we were all shouting a minute ago, and now all of a sudden it's quiet in here. I, by way of the Spirit of the Lord, I'm telling you, we're going to build a huge church.
Yeah, that's right.
We aren't going to do anything for God unless we build it. God's not going to come down from heaven and say, okay, guys, I'll help. You got another hammer? God's allowing us to do this work for him. Wherever we're at is because of yesterday's decision. You know that. Well, then we need to make a decision today that we're going to increase in Christ and decrease in ourselves so that we can go ahead and boldly speak the word of God.
Amen.
That good?
Amen.
And that's what we do, praise the Lord. You can't shut this church up. I've gotten numerous reports from people that got people rather agitated with them because they told them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So what if they get mad? That's not your prerogative.
Right.
It's worth getting one person saved over getting 50 people ugly and upset with you. Isn't it?
Yes.
It's not up to you. It is up to you to increase in the knowledge of God. And that's where the word will become so strong in you, so that when you say, because I've had people say, the greater one's in me. I say, yes, he is. The greater one lives in me. Praise God. Yes, he does. How are you doing? Well, actually, Uncle so-and-so has this thing, and then before him was this one, and so it's hereditary, and I'm going to get this thing. Wait a minute. Don't you believe the bloodline of Jesus Christ severed that? And now you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You don't have to take on what Uncle Joe had and all the rest of them. You're a new creature in Christ.
Amen.
You got the greater one in you. Yeah, I do got the greater one in me, but I was just thinking, see, they need some knowledge. They need some more knowledge so that they can decrease in that thought life and increase in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Same thing with prosperity, especially in New England. People just, you know, we haven't been told this message. And the greater one lives in me. How you doing? Well, I ain't had a job and I'm probably never going to get one. Wait a second. Wait a minute. God provides. Oh, yeah. God will provide all my needs by his riches of glory. Praise the Lord. Then you'll get a job. Well, I don't know. I put out 30 resumes. I'm getting nothing now. That doesn't matter. What's coming out of your mouth? The word. Amen. You need to turn it. Just turn it. I don't have a job yet. But God has one for me. Because he's my provider and I have favor with God and man. I don't care if I need to submit 1,000 resumes. One job is mine, the perfect one. God will line that up for me. Why? The greater one's on the inside of me. Amen?
Amen.
It's the level. What level? I had it written down. I got to say it and we'll close. The greater the measure, the greater the manifestation. That's good refrigerator door stuff there. Put it on your refrigerator. The greater the measure, the greater the manifestation. That's why we say everybody's at a different level with Christ. Amen? Some have decreased more, and Christ has increased more, so there's greater measure of the greater one. Amen? I mean, come on, when Brother Kevin Durant was here, I thought he was gonna shoot one of his eyeballs out of his socket. He was preaching so up there. Amen?
Amen?
Screaming out the word and didn't stop. Just stayed screaming out the word. Hallelujah. Well, that level of manifestation came because of the level of Spirit of Christ that's increased in him. Amen? You're going to explode if you don't let it out. Praise God. That's how it happens with us, church. This church is doing wonderful. We're in a foreign land. Believe me.
Yeah.
People say, you going to pastor? I'm going to be a missionary too. Where are you going? New England. You know? But thank God that's changing. Why? Because people like you are getting hooked up with the Word of God and changing people around you. And that's how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. So the greater the manifestation means that you got a greater increase of Him in you and a less of you. So the greater the measure is the greater the manifestation.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. This church is growing wonderfully. Don't stay where you are. Please continue to grow. Amen. And you will abound in everything that you do, because why? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Stand to your feet, church. We'll close. Did you get something?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Say this after me. Greater is he
that is in me.
That is in me.
That is in me.
than he
that is in the world.
I will increase
in my knowledge
of my Father.
I will act like him.
I will speak like him.
Words of faith.
I believe the word of God.
I'm somebody
in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lord,
for your Holy Spirit.
He works in me.
Manifestations
of his good things
happen in my life.
In Jesus' name,
I'll get people saved.
I'll teach them the knowledge
of Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Greater is he
that is in me
than he
that is in the world.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, if you're not saved, you don't want to burn in hell.
Come see me after the service.
Amen.
I know everybody's saved, but I just want to give you a shot in the arm. That, listen, I'm not going to take time for an altar call, but I want to tell you this.
If you're not saved, or you're not sure you are, if you're not sure you're saved, you're not saved, you're not.
Because the Bible says you'll know.
Amen.
So please.
And if you think you need to step up the plate and be more consistent coming to church and stuff, I'm not going to do an altar call. I'm just going to tell you something right now.
It's up to you.
Where do you want to be in your relationship with God?
Amen.
And if you don't speak in the Holy Ghost, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, there is plenty of people in this church you can go and approach and say, do you speak in the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Well, then will you pray with me? Because it's not my responsibility if you speak in the Holy Ghost. It's not my responsibility that you grow up spiritually.
It's not.
It's not your spouse's either.
It's our own individual responsibility.
And if you're not sure about baptism of the Ghost, there's plenty of mature Christians in this church you can go talk to.
Amen?
I mean, you can talk to me and Pastor about it, or Miss Kathy, or Brother Bill, whatever, but there's a lot of mature Christians in this church that speak and have spoken the baptism of the Holy Ghost for a long time.
You need to have that.
It will give you boldness.
To do what?
To decrease in yourself and increase in Him.
It's all about Him.
It's really all about Him.
Everything we do, it's for Him.
Praise God.
You're doing wonderful, church.
Keep it up.
Keep it up, because good things are coming. They're right around the corner for this church.
I laugh because I can see what's happening.
We got an awesome, strong church
preaching the truth of the Word of God.
Without, we will not move, will not be shaken.
We'll stay focused, and we'll continue to do this.
And this is the very thing that people need today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Brother Gary, if you will.